This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Stockwatch podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here today to talk about last night's episode of Survivor, episode two of Survivor season 41. Drop the four, leave the one. With me today is Kevin Robert Martin. How you doing, Kevin?
Taryn, I'm great. All my arteries are intact. There's no bleeding anywhere. Okay. Yes, we're first season of Survivor. This is the start of the show once again. Previous 40 yeah. seasons do not exist. That's how I'm treating this season. It's great to be back, man. This is the show. This is the reality show that I hold dear in my heart. I grew up with the show, watched it from a young childhood. And this is the one. This is my favorite. It's nice to be back.
It says a lot as well. Kevin, if you don't know him, is a Big Brother winner over there in Canada. Survivor maybe the better TV show here sometimes.
It's just a little more consumable, you know. Big Brother, you get into the 33 episodes, 34 episodes. You got the live feeds and Survivor once a night. Bam, I can do it. You know, life is busy, but once a night I can sit on my couch and watch people starve and try to win $1 million. So. Yeah, it's very, very, very close to my heart.
Kevin is also a poker streamer and player.
Which very well over there. Poker players do horrible on Survivor. For some reason, we have Vanessa Rousseau had a good showing on Big Brother. I had a good showing on Big Brother Canada. For some reason, the four or five poker players that got on Survivor have just done so terrible. And speaking of which, Sarah this season says she was a poker enthusiast in her bio. Death. If you ever go on Survivor, do not mention poker at all because you will for sure be an early boot. So GG to Sarah. Gone too soon. I was a big Sarah fan.
Would you go on Survivor? And if you did, would you then just hide? You just pretend you were not a poker player?
I think I would go on Survivor, you know. Shout out to Jeff Probst for making Canadians able to go on. And yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody for some reason. I mean, we can go through them between John Robert, Garrett Adelstein, and Ronnie was a first boot. Horrible. I'm waiting for that poker player to come on Survivor and break the trend at this point.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like even on Big Brother, I feel like on Big Brother, we've gotten a couple of, Vanessa, mm-hmm. you... But still, you weren't really like pegged as like the poker professional player, like, mm-hmm. you were Kevin Robert Martin, that Kevin Robert Martin.
Yeah, for sure. Vanessa's the one that like really stood out as like an all time great player of like, thank goodness someone from the poker community can represent us well. So shout out to Vanessa Rousseau. Reached out to her a couple times. She's busy though. It's okay. She had a great run. And then what did she get? Third. She got axed on finale night in heartbreaking fashion, but a good showing by her.
Yeah. Well, We're here to talk about last night's episode of Survivor. I felt like not quite as strong as the premiere here. Obviously, the premiere had 2 hours. It was very exciting and fresh. It was the first Survivor we had seen in a very long time. This felt a bit more run-of-the-mill Survivor to me, where they like really went out of their way to try to like convince us that it was going to go one way, and then it didn't really go that way. And you know, we didn't really fully understand why. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the Survivor I've not loved.
I was texting with a friend about this, and sometimes Survivor kind of shoots themselves in the foot with it. They want chaos. They want blindsides, action, action, action. And sometimes they sacrifice storytelling to give us that chaos. And as an audience member, I always, you know, I like action, but when I'm confused, it doesn't hit as hard. And I was a little confused last night where the vote landed. We didn't really see the understanding. You know, did Xander realize that his friend Voce was in trouble? We didn't really get that storyline. So I agree, Taryn. Strong premiere, and this one kind of fell back, you know, variance. It went back towards the median here a little bit, but still very excited for this season.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was like super pumped for the premiere. I was just like Jeff Probst.
I'm so happy I'm here.
So happy to be here. But yeah, definitely a little more now into the regular rut of things. But still very, I mean, it's been so long. So it's still very fun. And I really do like this cast. I'm really excited to see where we go with it. But we come in, the first thing I was looking for on the episode, and by the way, what we're going to do here is recap the episode, and then after we recap the episode, running through it to find those little bits and pieces that that we may have missed the first time around, or that I may have missed the first time around, to try and figure out, to the best of our knowledge, what's happening here in the game. Then we're going to run through each player and give them a number rating based on how well we think they're doing in the game. So we'll try to get into that level of granular detail over there as well. But the first thing I was looking for in this episode was an explanation for the previous green tribe, and I will call them by their colors still, tribes tribal, because we had that situation where Shan was like, hey, we got to switch it to Brad, and then it didn't switch to Brad, and we speculated in the previous podcast, like what was going on there? Was it an actual flip? Was it all just like an orchestrated charade to prevent, whoever from like from playing the shot in the dark or whatever? But we got basically nothing except for Brad saying that he feels nervous about JD and that he felt like JD was very unpredictable and he's not a very consistent player.
Yeah, we jump right into it, and I was confused as well. I would have loved some explanation on why the votes landed on Sarah. You know, the first episode, they try to present it as a live tribal. I'm usually not a buyer in the live tribals. I think things are a little more set than the TV show likes to lead on, but you know, so we don't really get an explanation on why Sarah is going. We do jump into a fun scene with Brad. You know, we just had the Olympics going on. I watched a lot of track. 200 meters, 400 meters. Brad looked pretty good there running across the Fiji beach. He had some nice form, and it was a really, really, really fun kind of chaotic scene. That was one of my favorite scenes of the whole episode, is the first scene we started with.
It was very, and I saw plenty of comparisons, but it was very Tony Vlachos, like, running through the forest and on the beach and jumping into the bushes. And he's like, I got to spy on the conversation because this guy, JD, he seems really out there and unreliable and just, I don't know about him. I got to figure out what he's saying. And he goes and he jumps in the bushes. And my favorite part of this, Kevin, was that he says, I think he said he's like a hunter or something, but he says that your prey, they can feel it when you're gazing on them. So in order to prevent JD from feeling that he was looking at him, he closed his eyes so that he wouldn't feel the gaze.
And just listen. That's true. I've heard that's a big thing with bear hunting specifically. You're never supposed to look at a bear when you're going to take it down, because bears are very all-knowing and they can sense your gaze. I don't think us humans have that perception. So yeah, I mean, if we play hide and seek, Taryn, like if you're hiding and you're looking at me, is that going to give away the scent or something?
Hold on. I'm going to prevent you from being able to notice that I'm here.
It was also hilarious. Another little moment I found on the second rewatch as well is just a split second scene when Brad is getting ready to leave camp. He looks at Jeannie and he does this gesture. He points in his eyes and he points that way and then he takes off. So, I mean, is Brad going to go down as a really good Survivor player? I don't think so. But, I mean, he's bringing some antics that I'm quite enjoying. I like this chaotic energy. Again, this is one of the best scenes we've had so far this season.
Yes. And this is the second episode in a row now that Brad has had this like ridiculous, goofy edit going on. Where in the first episode, he was like saying to Shan and Sarah's faces that, like, yeah, I mean, it's one of you. And so it really feels like we may be in it for the long haul here with Brad, or at least I hope so, given what we've gotten from him so far. But at the very least, you know, he is not exactly in my winner contention pile.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And like, what has JD done? Because in the first episode, we saw Ricard have a confessional where he doesn't trust JD. And now Brad's not trusting JD. Maybe it was because JD was just trying to build those personal bonds so aggressively with everyone in the first episode. But I also think we're in the long haul with JD. Just the vibe, yeah, I got in the first episode, I really think he's going to be a prominent character. This is my favorite tribe, the Green Tribe, Uwa. Right off the premiere, I was like, this tribe is going to be the most fun. I really like Ricard as well. And I mean, one of the stars of the show, I'm still learning all the names, is Shan. She's absolutely, mm-hmm. I mean, if I could change my winner pick was Sarah. Ripped my winner picks. Classic. I've had a couple winner picks that have gone out the first episode.
It's, you saw her tragic. Mention poker and you were like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If I could switch my winner pick, I think I might go for Shan. Shan, I mean, this entire Green Tribe is just so, so good on the show.
Yeah, you know, it was strange to me in particular because, you know, we open up on Brad being like, oh, JD, he's so unreliable. From what we saw in the tribal, it was Shan who was saying, let's switch to Brad. She, and then JD was like, I don't like what's going on, went over there. And theoretically, based on what we saw, it was JD that convinced Shan and Ricard to not flip the vote on to Brad. And yet JD appears to be the one that he's the most upset with. I imagine that's because we don't have the actual account of what happened at Tribal. But they did seem to be close before. And we did have that moment post the live Tribal part where Brad was like, I don't know what's going on. Why is JD being so paranoid? You know, again, given what we knew, he had reason to be paranoid for Brad's sake. But this relationship seems to have gone downhill, and I don't think it's good for either of them.
No, it's really, really, really not. Brad is a little frantic. Maybe it's because the game is shorter. Just the fact that the players know that a third of the game is cut off. They're coming. I mean, there's a lot of like, you know, maybe it's also because this cast. I mean, there's a theory I heard from, I believe it was Stephen Fishbeck and Rob Cisternino. Shout out to the Know-It-Alls. They said that this cast, a lot of them were booked to play Survivor a year ago, but then it got canceled. You know, so this extra delay and the shorter game, there's just so much frantic energy. We see a lot of frantic energy with Tiffany later, I'm sure we'll cover. Xander is a little bit wild and stuff. So yeah, these guys are playing really, really hard. I would say most of them are not playing super well off the get-go, but definitely for us viewers, it's nice to see that they're going so hard at this.
Yeah, and I didn't mind Brad running off to, you know, eavesdrop on a conversation. Again, we've seen Tony do that. You know, he is arguably the best, right? But what I did not like about what Brad did is that he ran off, as you mentioned, in front of everyone going like, I'm going to, and then running off and then running back. Oh, I just overheard them. Oh my God, this is going to be great. Like that is just like, he's exposing himself as somebody that's like really sketchy and like running all over the place. And we immediately see Shan say she's sketched out. She doesn't think she can trust him. And she goes and tells Ricard, who tells us that, that Shan is his closest ally in the game and that, Brad made a mistake by letting her in on the fact that he was eavesdropping. Brad is so bad at this game. Brad has to go. This was interesting to me because, again, it kind of appeared to me last episode that Ricard was on the bottom because it was him, Sarah, and Shan, and it seemed like Shan had chosen the other side, the Brad and JD side. But it seems like either that was an outdated structure of this tribe or it was one that didn't really exist at all, and that you know, maybe Ricard is wrong and Shan is not loyal to him. But it does appear that she is more loyal to Ricard than to Brad. And so it seems like there's some truth here. And I feel like wherever Shan is, that's where the power is in this tribe.
Yeah, I mean, she feels like an absolute superstar out of the gate. I watched her preseason interview and she didn't really jump off the screen to me, but in her episode one and episode two, I would say it's between her and Evie for the MVP of this season so far. And Shan is just, I mean, really, really sharp. And, you know, if we went to tribal, I think it would have been Bran in trouble for this tribe with JD as well. But it seems like Shan is not even in the conversation, and every single person feels super close to Shan, not in like a fake superficial way like some people are feeling about JD, trying, like, it really feels like she has these deep bonds already so early into this game. So I mean, credit to Shan, just an absolute great start to this season of Survivor.
Definitely. So we head over to the Blue Tribe. Ua, by the way, best name for the Green Tribe. It's the best tribe name. It's the only one I really remember also. But over on the Blue Tribe, we hear from Deshaun. Deshaun in the last podcast was my top pick for the Blue Tribe. And Asia disagreed. She thought it was Danny, but I feel like this episode aided my case here, because it was a lot of Deshaun. But we initially get that he's not good at making fire. And so we quickly go over to Nasir, who also had a bit of a great episode here. He explains that he's been waiting for this. He has lived his life, preparing for this, essentially, with meager supplies and, something he is very much used to. He makes the fire easy. And Sydney says that before she was kind of like out on Nasir, but now she says that Nasir is essential to the survival of the tribe and she's leaning toward keeping him. And she talks to Deshaun about it.
Yeah, this Blue Tribe, Iluvu, I completely agree in that Nasir was really in trouble off the get-go. But it looks like he has had a bit of a come up this episode. By the way, can we talk about Deshaun and the fire? Like, I don't think he was doing this on purpose. But isn't this the move in Modern Survivor to like spend 4 hours hacking away at the machete and just being like, guys, I just can't do it. Like that.
He made a comment too, right? He was like, oh man, final four. This is going to suck.
It seems like you do not want to be the guy starting fire with the final four fire making twist. I don't think that was on purpose. I don't know if Deshaun was thinking in that meta level strategy, but that definitely seems like the optimal strategy from a Modern Survivor. Deshaun, massive episode. I mean, we see some flashbacks from him in the future about the triple D's and you know, how he has been a doctor, and it was a lot of positive content for Deshaun. I was big on Danny episode one as well. Danny did so good. We didn't see Danny here. And this is the tribe where we, of course, this is pretty common. This is the tribe that hasn't been to tribal council. And, you know, we still have question marks as the audience about who these characters are really going to be on the show. But I love Nasir as well. He's just so charming and his story and stuff. Big fan of Nasir. Heather, I think we've had one confessional total from Heather.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There was a great secret scene from Heather that I saw on Twitter that was like, oh, it was so good. But yeah,
you know, let's just get into the secret scene here because it kind of fits into, this is like kind of the only Blue Tribe content we get anyway. I did see the secret scene. It was the only one I could find. I don't know if there were more out there. I feel like they've been harder to find this season, but there was a secret scene of the Blue Tribe and, it centers around, I feel like it told, because we've gotten so little from them. I feel like this told me way more about the Blue Tribe than I've gotten in any of the episodes so far. So first of all, we got Sydney and Deshaun walking together again. So this is the third time I've seen, you know, on the Blue Tribe, Sydney and Deshaun in the first episode talking about Nasir, in the second episode talking about Nasir, and now in a secret scene talking about Heather. They really seem to be tight here. This to me seems to be the power in the alliance, in the tribe, especially if Deshaun is still connected to Danny. It's, you know, there's probably at least three of them there connected. Sydney and Deshaun walk off together, and I could be reading into this, but there is like a reaction shot of Erica as they walk away, kind of like, don't know what that's about. Maybe it'll come to something. Sydney ends up telling Deshaun that Heather had a dream that Sydney stole her torch. And we flash back to Heather explaining to Sydney that, and if you don't know who Heather is, by the way, because she hasn't been in like any of the episodes, let me just pull up, this is the wrong one. Let me just pull up a photo here. This is Heather. Mm-hmm. If you can recognize her at all.
She's been wearing the baseball cap on the show the whole time. She had one confessional in episode one, but this secret scene made me want to see more of Heather. It was a lot of fun,
right? Yeah. She says, we flash back to her. She's explaining to Sydney that she had a dream where she stole her torch. She said, I listened to my dreams. I noticed that I thought it was interesting that when Sydney brought this up, Deshaun said, are we going to make this dream a reality? Like she was already kind of the target here potentially. And so she says, you stole my torch. You stole my torch. And she brings it up again in the secrets, like it's in a separate situation. She's talking about her dream again. And then it cuts to a Heather confessional where she goes, I made it up. I didn't even have a dream. I made it all up. I made it up because I'm targeting Sydney and I don't trust her.
Which is, you can, I love it. It's hilarious. You know, shout out to, I believe that wasn't this the Shambo, didn't Shambo from Samoa actually have a dream?
I think she did. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is Heather pulling off the fake Shambo. It's such a bizarre strategy, though. But I mean, it was hilarious that she just invented a dream that she had. And later in that confessional, she said, yeah, I'm just trying to throw some negative energy Sydney's way. And hopefully the tribe will catch on to that and want to get rid of her. I don't think that's how Survivor works necessarily. But, I love the play. It's deep in the playbook. It's one I haven't seen before.
She was so proud of it too. Like she was like talking about how, like, let me explain to you my masterstroke here. I talked about having this dream and I, you know what? I didn't even have the dream. Here's the thing. You don't even have to have had the dream. You can just say you had the dream. And it's like, but why did you need the dream in the first place? Because all it's done is let her know that you want to target her. But hey, you never know. There's at least something out there now that she is in direct conflict with Sydney. And now there's some reason for, if for whatever reason, they're like, hey, let's keep Heather around. The default now, if you don't vote out Heather, is probably Sydney, right?
It's tough to know the dynamics of this tribe. I kind of, this is with a giant question mark, but I thought it was Deshaun and Danny seem tight. They did the sweat challenge together. Mm-hmm. And in there seems Sydney is really close with Deshaun. So So that's like a pretty big three. And I threw Erica in there. We haven't had a lot of Erica content, but those seem like it kind of seems like those might be the four. And it seems like Nasir and Heather are on the outside.
I'm wondering if they're thinking about pulling Nasir in, and that's what we were getting in this episode. And that maybe Erica is not in with them. I mean, I really might be reading into like that one reaction shot, but like, I don't know where Erica stands at all with this. But Erica does say, she says, hey, maybe it's actually a compliment. She was thinking about you before she went to bed. And Danny says, well, someone is going to fall victim to Dreamgate. Which to me again implied that, that Heather is on the outs here and very likely the person to be voted out if this tribe goes to tribal. But the fact that we didn't see this scene in any actual episode implies to me that they're not ever going to go to tribal.
I mean, they're just stomping in the competitions as well. The competitions this year seem a little extra physical. It seems on brand with like, this is a hard game. This is going to be tough. And so it does seem like these challenges are even a little more physical than normal. And the Blue Tribe is just stacked and, you know, they're rolling. They got their flint. And sometimes in these pre-jury challenges, you know, like we saw with Matt Singh or whatever, when the tribe keeps winning, the stronger tribe is winning for a reason. Then they get momentum. They're eating more. They're more energized. I doubt they go to tribal anytime soon at all.
Yeah. And you know, this secret scene was probably more entertaining than any of the scenes we got in the, maybe the Brad one, but this was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I recommend checking it out. But we're going to head over back to the episode proper. We head over to the Yellow Tribe here. Tiffany is exhausted. We're getting this edit of this tribe is in bad shape. We're losing. We're going to keep losing. Right from the get-go, they're trying to set up like what a mistake it would be if they didn't vote out the weak links. This is a losing tribe. This is the Matt Singh. We're getting that vibe straight away. Then we get to Xander, who is going to, I thought, pretty cleverly find an excuse to like go out and start hunting for advantages. And he finds this beware advantage, which I've seen is very controversial in the Survivor streets here. Kevin, you have an extra vote.
Mm-hmm.
You find this advantage. It says, beware. If you open this, you must do what it says. If you don't want to do what it says, then just put it back and don't open it. You put it back?
It would be tough. I mean, in hindsight, now that I've seen this episode, it might change my mind a little bit. But I mean, in the history of Survivor, every time you have found something in the woods, it has been positive, except for Jamal on Island of the Idols found the negative advantage. So this seems like a new thing, maybe, you know, which I kind of like this. Just a random twist here, the beware. I mean, I'm on a TV show. I would take the bait. There's no way I would put it back. I would definitely open it, even though he's in a good spot with the extra vote. And I mean, this goes down as like, not only is this not an advantage, this is a horrendous thing to have happen to you. It is absolutely disastrous for Xander here to find this. It's, I mean, I don't even know what you want to call it. It is devastating. It's not only complex, it's like really, really, really bad for his individual game.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what I would have actually done in the moment. I mean, if I find something, I think when you find something, you feel like
you got the camera on you, Taryn. How do you put it back? Of course, you're gonna.
I will say that I did feel very ominous vibes. Like the fact that it said once you open it, you must do what it said, what it says. Like that to me, even though I've heard the argument that like everything in the past has never actually been that negative, I was like, that specific wording really implies to me that I will not want to do what it says on the thing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're giving me an opportunity to put it back, like probably doesn't mean much, but the fact that they're saying I will have to do what it says really would have worried me. And I definitely would have at least heavily considered putting it back. But
you could even put it back and then, you know, go to your ally, someone you really trust and you know, kind of lead them towards, or at least it's in your alliance, or at least it's in your kind of somewhat possession. But I would have taken the bait. I could sit here and be like, I would have considered putting it back. I know 100% I would have opened it. How can you not? It's just so tempting.
And I think that's the thing that probably would have convinced me to open it regardless is that I don't want to just put this thing back and have no idea what it does and have no idea who might end up finding it. I can't keep watch of it 24/7. And so like, even if I end up having a disadvantage, I think if I'm in the game, I'd probably rather have the knowledge of what it is and where it is, even if it's bad and on me, than having no idea. And so I probably also would just end up opening this thing. And so he opens it and it's a three-way shared immunity. So I read through it. There's three code phrases. So he has to go to the tribal and to the immunity challenge. At the next immunity challenge, he must say his code phrase. It says he must say it at his next immunity challenge. I believe I've heard somewhat conflicting things about, does he have to say it at every immunity challenge or just the next one? It does say that all three phrases must be said at the same immunity challenge for the idols to activate. So regardless of whether he has to say it at every tribal or every immunity, he will have to say it again at some point, at the very least, if he wants it activated. If somebody else says their phrase, he will then have to say again that his phrase, which is, I truly believe that butterflies are dead relatives saying hi.
Is the one he chose. The other two options were, I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf, which I kind of thought was kind of humorous. And broccoli is just a bunch of small trees, which I thought he was going to go for the broccoli, to be honest. When I first heard it, I was like, he's definitely going to talk about the broccoli. But
also, so he was given the butterflies one. It said, this is
really? Oh, I misunderstood that. I thought he had the option between the three saints. I thought the butterflies
as well, but yeah, when you read the thing, it says this one is your code phrase.
And the other one. Two. Wow. Interesting. Okay. I missed that on the first take.
I feel like the goat one is the easiest.
Yeah, you can work. Yeah, I do think that one is the easiest. You can sometimes, you know.
I just used like a really weird analogy. Like, I'm trying to be funny. Oh, the joke fell flat.
He did a really good job with it, though, Xander. I mean, maybe because he's like the aloof surfer guy a little bit, it was a little bit easier for him. But he tied it into the delusion of like, we didn't see a confessional from someone being like, that was weird or whatever. Everyone just like, oh, that's Xander being silly. He did a really good job with it. This is fun. I like this. The twist or whatever, I'm not so getting contestants to say funny things for silly reasons. That was one of my biggest laughs of the episode is when he said this line at the challenge. I was like, this is hilarious. And Jeff talked about this here, his emphasis on fun. This is one reason why I was like, that is really where Jeff Probst and the producers are just trying to have a silly laugh. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really liked the idea of the code phrases. When I saw what they were, I was like, okay, we're not going for cool. We're going for goofy, which I can also appreciate. But I do like there was a part of me that mourned the loss of like, three people actually being able to cleverly put a under the radar phrase out into the immunity challenge. And then like, oh, now I have the idol. I get it. This is goofy and fun. I really will have to see again. Does he have to bring this up at every immunity challenge? Because if he says it even once more, I think completely this is done. It's a done deal. Everybody's going to know. And the fact that all three of these phrases will be said in conjunction with one another, like people are going to know that something went down. It's not going to be under the radar.
I saw one of my favorite tweets. I think it was from Dalton Ross. Might not be him. He said, Xander should just come to the immunity idol and he should come to the next challenge and be like, hey guys, do you remember what I said? And then repeat the phrase.
Yeah.
It's like, that was really weird. Wasn't that just like, kind of like repeat it by just calling back to when you said it the first time. If he has to say this every time, I don't understand how this is going to work, but I hope he does. I hope we're like the fifth challenge in and he's just talking about butterflies once again.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Right? Like come into the next challenge. Jeff is like, how you guys doing? Well, Jeff, we're still without Flint. And I mean, I'm so delirious that I said last time in the immunity challenge that I truly believe that butterflies are dead relatives saying hi. I can't believe I even said those words. It's so ridiculous.
It was really, really, really enjoyable. What are the other two tribes doing? No one's found this thing yet. I mean, how has Brad not found this thing? He's running around in the jungle. Right? He hasn't found this thing yet.
So he has to say those things. Another key point here is that if all three shared idols are not found by the merge, the vote penalty ends and the idol is forever dead, it says. So until the idol activates, until all three of them are found and the code phrases are said at the immunity challenge, Xander does not have a vote. And that will stay locked in place until they find those idols or they hit the merge. Which means that if somebody had found this in the first episode before, if Tiffany had found this, which she was about to in the first episode before the first tribal, somebody would have had no vote from day one to the merge unless all three people find it.
It's so devastating to lose your vote, especially if we're doing a two tribe format, it wouldn't be as devastating. The fact that like we're in a three tribe format, every single vote is so important. And it's just, it's like a horrible, 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 horrible bad break for Xander here. He survives the episode. I really thought Xander was going to go here. I thought it was his time and they were just going to get rid of him. But to his credit, he survives him. I'm excited because now we get to hear him potentially repeat this phrase at the next challenge.
Yes. And so much of the season is tied up with your vote as well, because not only can he not vote, but because he can't vote, he also can't use his shot in the dark. He can't give up his vote in order to roll the die.
And he can't use his extra vote either. Lost his vote so he could use his extra vote, at least have one vote. But no, it has eliminated his ability to vote, including his extra vote. So I love how everything's fallen on Xander here. Like, if these twists were a little more spread out, it'd be like, oh, this is kind of a normal season of Survivor. But the fact that it's multiplied on Xander specifically, it really intensifies what's going on.
I think he should be able to use his extra vote. It's a one-time deal. Yeah, like, now you have, because you risk your vote, you now have one vote before the merge if nobody ever finds this thing. I think he should have had it. But here you go. This is now Xander's fate. And he, it seems like with no hesitation, says, all right, I've really got to trust my allies here. And he goes to Evie and Voce and he tells them about the beware advantage that he found, as well as the fact that he got that extra vote. And he unfortunately should not, although given the end of the episode, maybe he should trust Evie, who says to us that they want to work with the women and not the men.
Yeah, Evie, here we find our MVP of the episode. Absolutely no doubt. And I mean, I'm loving Evie so far. She's absolutely wrecking these two boys, then they don't really know. I got the sense that Voce, you know, was a little bit aware that maybe, but like, I think Xander was completely fooled by Evie for sure. Evie is right in the middle of this tribe. She has Liana and Tiffany on one side, the two women, and she's also having this alliance with Xander and Voce. So she is smack in the middle. She is aware of every single advantage in play. She is also making relationships on the other tribe we see with Deshaun. So yeah, Evie is doing pretty well. Her and Shan, I'm sure when later when we give these players some numbers, they're going to have two big ones.
Yes. And I didn't love the decision here from Xander to immediately tell his alliance, especially because, you know, we are, you know, one tribal in to the game. And the fact that he now has found two advantages. Evie was already telling us that they felt like Xander was so well liked by the tribe. Everybody really trusted him. And now he's found two advantages. It's no wonder to me. And I think that they are absolutely correct. If they end up going to the end with Xander, or, you know, the men in general, you know, a player like Xander is going to get all the credit, and a player like Evie is going to be the one that everyone's like, why didn't you take out Xander, idiot? And so they say that they want to go with the women, and they feel like they're in a great spot with the in the tribe, and that's the direction that they're going to go. And that's not super surprising, I think, to us. I think in the previous episode that we did here or covered here, we talked about how Voce was probably the person that was in danger heading into the next tribal, if what was being said in the previous episode held true, which is that Evie wanted to work with these women, Tiffany and Liana, and that does be the case.
I agree with you, Taryn. In the first episode, Xander came back from his little adventure, and he was very forthcoming about what happened. That one made sense because people expect something to happen to him. That situation makes sense for him to expose that information. But here, when he finds the Beware Advantage in secret, notice when he found the advantage, he actually yelled pretty loudly. If you just noticed that on the show, he found it. And he's like, yeah, and it was very audible. I'm like, oh, that's a little risky. But there was no reason for him to share this at all. Everyone knows he has an extra vote already. If you now present the idea that you have an extra advantage, it's just you're way too equipped. So maybe that's just how he's playing the game with this extreme honesty. But I completely agree with you. It's like, you already shared that you had an extra vote. This one, you should have, in poker terms, kept your cards down a little bit.
So we get to the immunity challenge. This is where Xander says, he says this.
I mean, I woke up delusional thinking that I truly believe that butterflies are just dead relatives saying hi.
Even Jeff laughs at him, which I think is really funny because it's like, Jeff is the one that made him say it. And now Jeff is like, so awkward, dude.
I thought, Jeff didn't really help him out here at all either, but it played off really, really, really well. I would have loved to see the sequence of Xander. I mean, one of my biggest laughs the whole episode was him saying this. I really enjoyed him saying that. But if then someone on the blue mat started talking about broccoli and then someone started talking about AstroTurf, it would have been quite the combination of topics that would have been quite humorous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never been on Survivor. Before the challenge, do they just chat for like 40 minutes or was this able, to me, I always thought it was a couple of seconds and then they're off and going, but.
I think it is usually a lot longer than we normally see, especially like when it comes to like tribes being able to strategize for the challenge ahead of time. I don't know how long these usually last, but they must be long enough. Maybe Jeff like set the precedent for it in the previous immunity challenge.
One of my favorite things later in the episode is when Tiffany talks about this. She keeps referring to how Xander mentioned purple butterflies, which is never mentioned at all, but she somehow got it construed that later in the episode, she brings up purple butterflies a couple of times. So this was just very humorous to me.
It was. We get through the immunity challenge. Tiffany tanks it. I mean, really struggles here for the yellow tribe. I don't know if they would have won anyway, to Evie's credit, what they say later about it. But blue dominates, green ends up beating out yellow, and blue now has to make a choice. They're going to send one person from the losing tribe and one person from either their tribe or the green tribe to send to, I don't know what they call it, Advantage Island or something, whatever I'm going to call it Advantage Island. It really should just be like Risk Your Vote Island, because apparently it's going to be the same thing every time. But initially I was like, ooh, here we go. We're going to do this again. And there's going to be some other cool twist because I liked it the first time. Mm-hmm. Blue Tribe chooses Evie to go. Don't know why. Maybe it was just random, but it just happened to be the person who was in charge of the tribe. So that I found interesting. And then Deshaun volunteers and they send Deshaun, and they all kind of do assume that this is going to be some sort of like get an extra vote again. And I was like, fools, it's not going to be the same thing. That's bad television. They would never do that. It's going to be something different.
Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Yeah, I'm surprised they went back to the well here. You know, in previous seasons, we saw Rob and Sandra do a different thing every single time. So I'm surprised we got the risk your vote, protect your vote, prisoner's dilemma again. It really popped in episode one. But, once you show the magic trick once, you're not going to get the same reaction from the audience. So I agree. There seems to be that walk does look very taxing. They did the zoom out shot and I was like, wow, that is tough to put a kilometers on it, you're American miles, excuse me. I was like, that is a look, and it's very uphill. I was like, oh my goodness, that does look like a very, very, very far trek.
Especially because, obviously they're sleep deprived and food deprived and everything deprived. But also it's like, get to know each other on your nice hike. And they're just like, if it's the vote thing,
Yeah, if you've ever gone on a hike with someone, it's not a good opportunity to socialize.
Yeah.
You're usually in a single file line, you're usually out of breath. Like, you know, that's why restaurants are so popular. You just sit down, eat food, and talk with each other. The hike is not a great social activity.
Mm-hmm. All right. But in the meantime, before we get to Advantage Island over there with the, maybe it's called, maybe it should be called Hike Island. We head back to the Yellow Tribe without Evie there. Tiffany tells us that she messed up, but she thinks she's fine. And, she is. So, Xander says that he thinks that Tiffany should go. And they said us, and I was not fooled. I can prove this because I was streaming while I was watching this episode. But they were really trying to pretend like Tiffany was going to go home here. And they set her up to be like, I think I'm fine, even though I messed up a little bit in the challenge. And then it cuts to Xander and Voce, and they're like, oh, she did so bad, we're going to send her home. And I was like, you're not fooling me. They're not in power.
I agree. It didn't fool me at all either. Even when Tiffany had the one confessional about this, oh, I hope I'm not a stupid Survivor player. I pegged it. It was one of the boys. I didn't know if it would be Xander or Voce, but I you know, the audience, we're veterans of the show, Taryn. We knew all along that it was one of the guys that were absolutely wrecked.
Yeah. Voce says that Tiffany is a liability and he needs to flip Liana. So he goes and he pitches to her. And she says they can talk to Evie when they get back. And she is open to this idea. But she tells us, not open to this idea. There's actually a plan in place to do an all-girls thing and blindside Xander. And so she tells Tiffany about Voce's pitch. And Tiffany is pissed that Voce would say her name. And I knew it. I knew he would do that.
Yeah, there's five people, Tiffany. I always get shocked when people are there's like five people, you know, who are they going to say? You could argue, if you look at Liana's body language in the scene, you know, she's not buying it. It was very obvious. She was not, you know, if I was Voce after that conversation, I would go back and be like, I'm in big trouble. It's time to go look for an idol.
Mm-hmm. But he did seem to believe it. And in the meantime, Tiff is now, very upset with Voce. And there's a case to be made that this is what sends Voce home, that he is the one to pitch to Liana, who then rats him out to Tiffany. And that is potentially what causes Tiffany to be so anti-Voce, in the, tribal that we end up getting. But I have some alternative theories as well. Liana tells us she needs Evie to come back to help manage Tiffany. She's worried Tiffany's going to do something stupid. This is the second time in one segment that Liana said, I need Evie to come back and handle this. I don't think that's great for Liana's edit, but, we'll see. Over on Advantage Island, Hike Island, Evie is excited to make another connection or a connection on another tribe. And I loved this. I love this thought process from Evie. I mean, I was like riding really high on Evie. I loved what they said about wanting to work with the women. I loved that they got to go to Advantage Island. And I was loving that, like, oh, now they're saying, let me make a connection on another tribe. This is perfect. And they say, you know, we're probably going to be down numbers when we hit a swap or a merge. So making connections can be very valuable. Boom. Yes, I love that. They tell Deshaun, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect my vote. I need my vote. So you can feel free to go ahead and risk your vote. I also love this. It's not that risky. The chances of Deshaun having an extra vote being like a thing that comes back on Evie, pretty small. That one extra vote probably not going to be what sends their entire game down the drain, right? There's a decent chance that because he knows that they're going to go to tribal and probably will not want to risk their vote, that they probably would be protecting their vote anyway. And we'll probably get that extra vote anyway. So for me, I liked this. It was a free way of getting, of being like, I'm giving you something. And I liked that.
When she, you know, they for Evie?
I believe it's she or they, that they prefer. So
cool. Yeah. This was so good by Evie. The fact that she was going to protect her vote anyway, but she really did gain that favor of like, hey, you know, and she kind of like made it seem like they were gifting the extra vote to Deshaun, when in reality, Evie was going to protect it no matter what. Again, absolute MVP of this episode. The way she handled this with Deshaun, it really looked like they connected. I love their dynamic. We also got some really positive content from Deshaun here talking about the flashback, his parents instilled this behavior in him, the 3 D's, about determination, how he wasn't the smartest growing up. So both of these people really, really shone in this segment for sure.
Yeah, and I really liked this when it was JD last time, and I like it from Deshaun as well. I really like these small kind of like pieces to really highlight a person's background and where they came from and what their motivation is. It really like instantly connects me to them and like what it means for them to be there. Like it's so easy to forget that these are human beings who are just like, I'm here. Like like it's so hard to convey how that must feel, but for both JD's segment last episode and this segment with Deshaun in this episode, I felt like I could completely empathize with exactly what it must feel like to have accomplished something by just being there and being so proud of that and what it means to, you know, me and how I, you know, grew up or whatever. And, you know, being on Survivor would not mean the same to me if I was on Survivor, but I felt what it meant to them. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it was really, 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 really good. And we didn't see the conclusion, but I think Deshaun has that extra vote, right? Obviously yeah, they planned it out. So I don't think we actually saw it, but I mean, great episode. Deshaun is killing it on his tribe, getting positive content, has an extra vote. Watch out for Deshaun here.
Yes, I liked all of this from Deshaun. But so at this point, I'm riding high on Evie, loving what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Then it took a turn for me because Evie sitting up at the top of that mountain or hill or whatever it is, starts really divulging a lot more information. They say, okay, so here's what's going down. I'm kind of feeling like Xander might be the next to go. It's up in the air who might go home, but it's probably going to land on Xander. And that's because he's got an extra vote, probably. And he also, do you know how the idols work yet? Here's how the idols work. They explain the idols and all of that stuff. They say to us that like, hey, I'm revealing Xander's secrets. I'm not revealing my secrets. I'm free to tell people, other people's secrets. But I don't love this. To me, if I'm Deshaun, if I'm Deshaun and I meet up with Evie for the first time, this is my first conversation with Evie. And at first they're like, look, go ahead, take the risk, your vote, take the extra vote. I'm not going to take, I'd be like, oh, this is great. This is like a, you know, an offering. Then when they start being like, okay, so here's this guy, Xander on my tribe. He really trusts me. He's told me all of his advantages. I'm going to tell you about all of them. We're totally going to vote this guy out. And then they don't even end up voting the guy out. And I would be like, I do not trust this person because A, clearly they are in a power position on their tribe. B, they are in a position where a lot of people trust them and give them information. C, they are revealing that information to a complete stranger right now. So that tells me that this is a dangerous player that is not trustworthy. And that is the last impression I want to be giving people that I'm meeting. Now, that's based on what we saw, which was a very one-sided conversation. It might have been something where Deshaun also was giving up information and it was more of an exchange, which would have been a much better situation. But the way it was portrayed to me, I didn't love it. I felt like there was a lot of information being dropped in all of that that felt a little too much to me.
Too much. Okay, you kind of made your case. So initially when you said you didn't like it, I was like, I really liked it. They maybe went a little too far, but isn't Deshaun going to figure out how these idols work anyway? I kind of liked it a little bit. You made a good point you didn't have to go the full way, but to me, it came across really authentic, and I think it did a good job. We didn't really see a confessional from Deshaun, but I feel like Deshaun left that not wary of Evie at all.
Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely possible because, like I said, it's hard to judge something like this where it could be good, it could be bad, and it's all kind of down to the execution. And we're relying on the edit to know what the execution was. But I do feel like the odds are better that this plays poorly given the fact that Xander is not the person that ends up voted out at the end of at the end of Tribal anyway. Like, and so now Deshaun, I would imagine is thinking, okay, what's up with that? Like, did everything they tell me, was everything they tell me the truth? Because told me the truth, because this does not line up.
I mean, it looked like it was going to be Xander. Shout out to Queen Tiffany, though, who swung this thing at the end. Xander owes Tiffany here massively.
Yeah. So we get back to the Yellow Tribe. Evie comes back. Voce tells Xander that he feels like Liana is on board. So Liana has apparently done a good job of convincing Voce that she's willing to flip. Evie comes back, says they protected their vote. Evie says that Xander should go. She tells us that. And they say that they need to ensure that the boys still think that they're with them. And so they tell the boys that it's Tiffany that's going home. And this is what really sets it up as, okay, it's the women versus the men, and Evie is in the middle, and Evie has chosen the women. By the end of the episode, I'm not entirely sure that's how it goes, but that's the setup here. Because again, when they tell the boys, Voce and Xander, that it's Tiffany, it's the two of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Evie told Xander or Voce individually. And given that Voce ends up voted out, it's definitely possible that after telling Voce and Xander it's Tiffany, that Evie pulled Xander aside and said, it's actually not Tiffany, it's Voce. Mm-hmm. And that's my theory, and we'll get into more about why I think that. I think
once agree with that. We'll touch at that at the end. I don't think Xander was blindsided by this vote, though. I think he was led in by probably Evie.
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, though, Tiffany is concerned about the idol. This is a fun little segment here in the episode. Tiffany goes to Liana and says, look, the only way to protect me is to vote out Voce. It's like, no, you don't understand that he doesn't have an idol. But if he had an idol, that if he has, I know you don't think he has an idol, but if he does, have an idol, then I need to make sure the only way to protect me is to vote out Voce. And Liana's like, oh.
Yeah, you can see Liana, you know, physically in pain while talking to Tiffany at the water well. And I understand it from Liana's perspective. Like, Xander is a massive threat with all of his powers and advantages and stuff. And also, if they vote out Xander, does that not kill the idols on the other tribes as well? Doesn't that kind of wipe the board with these advantages a little bit?
I imagine that they just rehide the advantage, but given the fact that Xander just immediately told Evie, who also went and immediately told the mm-hmm. rest of the tribe, they now all know what the advantage is. Mm-hmm. And so they know to put it back, right? They know to put it back until they hear at Tribal somebody say, I think that broccoli is just trees, or I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. And once they hear one or two of those phrases, now they can go and find the beware advantage and pick it up and go say the next one. However, Evie also told Deshaun. So now Deshaun also knows that if he finds the beware advantage, he shouldn't pick it up until he hears somebody at Tribal or at Immunity Challenge say the code phrase, which leads me to believe that there's a very good chance this thing is not turning on, that everybody is going to know sooner or later not to pick this thing up.
Yeah, it seems like word spreads quickly on these Survivor Islands. And I agree, if there was some sort of betting line of whether this thing gets activated or not, it just seems this seems like there's a lot of hoops to jump through. Everybody has to find it. Everybody has to communicate this line. I agree. These idols are going to die.
Mm. So Tiffany goes to Evie and says, look, I know you don't think he has the idol, but if he does, and Evie is like, read the note, dude. He doesn't have it. And he doesn't even have, so how it's going to work is that he doesn't even have a vote. So you don't even need to worry about that. What? Why doesn't he have a vote? It's like, because of the thing. You remember? I told you the whole, it's like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. But he does have the idol.
And poor Tiffany just seems so confused. And, you know, it's hard to, It's hard. It's confusing. It's a confusing advantage. It really is a confusing advantage. You know, she hasn't had any food. She's sleep deprived. I when I lack my sleep, I can't even think straight. But it was quite hilarious to see this where paranoia actually kicks in. So while this was going on, I'm like, oh, wow, Tiffany's really, really digging her grave. But she's the one that single-handedly flips the vote. It was going to be Xander. Tiffany by herself made this vote flip happen. Through her paranoia.
I mean, that's definitely, I think, how the episode portrays it to be. And it's definitely, I think, one of the possibilities for sure. But Evie tells us they're having second thoughts on who they want to work with in the game. And that comes off of the conversation with Tiffany, but it doesn't necessarily have to be directly connected, right? They say, Xander really, really trusts me, which is huge. And so then they go to a conversation with them and Liana, and they say, well, who would it be? Tiff. And that conversation is cut up, let me tell you. And they sell us that they're in the middle and they will decide who goes home tonight. And they're really trying to sell us on this, like, this whole vote is tribe strength or loyalty. But my theory here is that Evie is considering, you know what, and maybe Tiffany is the one that prompted this by saying they wanted Voce out. But I think that Evie is thinking, you know what, Xander did come right to me with this stuff. Tiffany is such a loose cannon. Maybe I don't want to work with Tiffany long term. Maybe I can just work with Xander long term, who he trusts me so much. If I can approach Xander about voting out Voce, and get him to vote Voce, or get him to be okay with the Voce vote, and he still trusts me, then maybe I can appease Tiffany for now, keep Xander in the game, and come next tribal, if I still feel good about Xander, maybe then I take out Tiffany and I go three with Liana and Xander, and I still have a leg up and he still can't even vote. And so, that to me seems a little bit more plausible in terms of why the vote might have gone the way it does, especially because after the vote is read and we see that it is Voce that's voted out, Evie says it sucked. And she puts her hand on Xander's knee and he goes, yeah, I feel so bad. Mm-hmm. Like he knew this was coming, right? Which maybe he knew it was coming and still fought against it and still isn't okay with it. And maybe it was just to appease Tiffany, but it felt to me like, given what they said about trusting Xander so much and that Xander trusted them so much, it seems to me like I think they might have just decided maybe I can work with Xander after all, and I'll just cut him off at the knees by taking out Voce.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very good explanation. To me, I really thought it was settled on Xander before Tiffany had to. I mean, that's what the episode sold. And I just fight it.
Yeah, like I said, it might have been, you know, it might have been when Tiffany makes a big deal. And if she hadn't, maybe it still would have landed on Xander. But once she does, it kind of starts Evie's, you know, gears turning. And maybe at that point, they decide that, right?
I hope Tiffany has a deep run this season. And I think she might actually, after she survives these first couple of ones, especially if we get to a post-merge scenario, I think Tiffany could have a really deep run into this game. She's just a very charismatic person. I really, you know, she seems super chaotic in this episode, as she was, but I really enjoy her as a person on the show, and she seems very charismatic, and her story is amazing as well. So I am also starting to stand Tiffany a little bit here.
I love any player that is going to go out there guns blazing and not just like go with the flow. And I love that Tiffany is like, who cares if I messed up the challenge? I don't care. I'm going to be here and I'm going to control this vote. I'm not just going to let somebody else control this vote. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it was really strong.
So we got this moment right before tribal. Oh, and we got this confessional from, you mentioned this one, the confessional from Tiffany.
Unless I'm being one of those stupid Survivor players, which I really hope I'm not.
Yeah, loved that confessional. We never want to be one of those stupid Survivor players. We know the ones.
The show threw that one out as kind of bait. It's like, oh no, you know, that's something people say before they get voted out. But yeah, they didn't fool us at all. Again, like I said, Tiffany, if she's around, we're going to have lots of solid confessionals like that. I love how she was just so worried about an advantage that was so obviously not in play.
Yeah,
like it was very obvious.
What if he says about those purple butterflies, and then he's got the idol.
And then just I was just, wait, he doesn't have a vote? What? How do you, it was just so chaotic. It gave me Karen Singbeal vibes from BB Can 5. Shout out to Karen, the Karenoia. It gave me very Karen vibes for sure.
Is David Voce the Kevin Martin of the season? It's just that Tiffany had more power.
There is some similarity there, perhaps, for sure. I'll give that a 16.666667% chance.
Oh, did you just do that math just now, Kmart?
Well, Jeff, I'm familiar with the fraction.
Oh, so you must have been like really super smart when you were a kid, right?
I mean, my mom kind of... My mom kind of instilled that in me.
Yeah, the 1 in 6 chance.
Yeah.
I mean, look, every mom instills the 1 in 6 odds, when you're a kid, because it's very important for Big Brother knowledge.
Absolutely. Whenever Jeff gets just absolutely when a contestant comes, like Christian Hubicki, when someone brings like a little snappy math quote specifically or something, Jeff just has hearts in his eyes, and you can see him look at Voce and he's quite impressed. To be fair, it is kind of impressive to know that specific decimal number off that fraction. So credit to Voce.
Jeff gives us a brief little moment to the cameras right before travel. That I've seen so many people are so upset about this. They're like, what is wrong with him? This show is going down the tubes. How dare he say the thing into the cameras?
My first watch through, we hit this point and I said, Jeff hasn't talked to the audience left. And I was like, I think that's going to come up. And sure enough, this one was just like so forced for no reason. Like,
it wasn't good.
No, it was bad. It wasn't, destroying the show, but this one was pretty cheesy. I like when he talks to the audience, but this one was simply in there. He said nothing of substance. He said, somebody's getting voted out tonight. Let's go to tribal.
He said it's going to come down to tribe strength or loyalty. I don't know. This is going to be a crazy one. Somebody's going to get voted out tonight.
Okay, Jeffrey. All right.
There's showing and then there's telling. And the whole episode was showing. And then Jeff just came right out and told us.
Yeah. I like Jeff. He's still out there, he's still slugging away. And I think episode one, his enthusiasm was there. If you really look at his body language, it's like 5 days in, he's starting to like come down a little bit off of his original high. Jeff's still doing a great job, you know?
Did you see the interview that came out recently where Jeff talked about Mr. Survivor guy, I think?
No, fill me in.
Oh, man. I could not do it justice. It would take too much time. You need to look up this interview. Jeff says that he has an alter ego that he met a couple of years into hosting the show, that it looks just like him but way cooler, with long hair, and his name is Mr. Survivor Guy or something along those lines, and he came up with all of the classic catchphrases. He told Jeff about it, and he was like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "I'm Mr. Survivor Guy." And then like he flew off into the sunset or something, and he still visits him to this day. I'm just like, this is, I cannot believe.
Jeff Probst dabbling in some psychedelic drugs over there? What's going on, Jeff?
Right? he said
it's been like Heather. Did he make it up?
Since the third season.
Shout out to Jeff Probst, man. I mean, his one season of the Jeff Probst talk show didn't work out so well, but I mean, 41 seasons strong here on Survivor, so he's done well for himself professionally.
Yeah, it's I get you guys. You have to look up the interview. I can't remember which outlet it was with. But
an example of Jeff talking to the camera in a good way was the first episode when he said like at me, like that was like there was a purpose to that. This little
little sentence before tribal council, I might have audibly groaned and like, all right, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm not as upset about it as a lot of people seem to be, though, because like, I'm down for like dumb, cheesy moments in the episode. Like, I'm not going to be like, it wasn't good, but like, I don't know. It's not bad to be able to laugh at Jeff, you know? At tribal, nothing really of too much importance here.
One of the lamest tribals. I mean, they didn't really see anything. I think there was not even in my second watch through, like,
It's really just Oche's, talk about his mom growing up. Xander says, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. And then we get a 3-1 vote. I thought it was interesting. They didn't even split the vote at all. Knowing that Xander didn't have a vote, it would have been very easy for them to throw one extra one onto Xander in the event that maybe the butterflies came to play and he'd had the idol, or maybe Voce plays a shot in the dark and you want that.
The only thing was, I thought Xander would give Voce his extra vote sometimes, maybe. While he could not use the extra vote, is it transferable? Could he have given Voce the extra vote?
I would assume so. But even then, it would have been 3-2, right?
Yeah, and how does...
Maybe that's what they were worried about.
How does Mr. Math not do the shot in the dark here?
He seemed to be very convinced that he had flipped Liana. Sure Evie was talking him into it.
The fact that he thought he flipped Liana, like, go watch the conversations. Liana's body language was so obvious that he was not with him. Mm-hmm. I say that as someone who got fooled on reality television many times, but like, as an audience, it's easy to play Monday morning. It was like, Voce, how did you not know this was a bad spot for you?
Yeah. It's rough here, but Voce is out.
We also talked about arteries and bleeding, which I am very sensitive to blood. I don't like it. So it actually made me, gave me some goosebumps when he talked about arteries and bleeding and surgery. It's okay.
I didn't know this about you, Kevin. I feel I'm also not like the biggest blood fan.
Yeah, no, it's just a little squeamish when it comes to bleeding and stuff. So.
Are you like nauseous, or do you like feel like you're going to pass out?
Yeah, I gave blood. I mean, I tried to give blood as a good citizen and I fainted. I couldn't do it. I just passed out too much.
I have the same problem. Every time I get my blood drawn, I get really faint. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty common symptom, but more so than the normal amount.
I liked Voce. I thought his confessionals were really engaging and a little sad to see him go. But this cast overall is very strong. We still got a lot of really good contestants here. So, sad to see Voce go, though.
Yeah, and I mean, Voce's preseason content was riddled with like I'm going to be the mastermind. I've got the perfect strategy to win this game. And I know a lot of people, myself included, thought this guy was going to completely flame out. Puya made a bet that if he won the game, he would eat 200 nuggets in 24 hours. So he is safe from the nuggets. But I still feel like Puya lost the spirit of that bet. Because Voce came on to this this season and he seemed perfectly fine, especially as a second boot, where like they would normally go out of their way to make them look like an idiot if they were an idiot. Like he seemed like this was not entirely his fault here. Like it was it's a small tribe. They just kept losing. He got hit by this random shot. He seemed like he was perfectly capable of playing this game and doing a decent job at it, but it was just not his time.
How do you do, you know, we don't have to spend too much time on this. Just a simple thumbs up, thumbs down. Shot in the dark. Are you liking the shot in the dark?
I like the shot in the dark.
I love the shot in the dark, man. I think it's great. I'm a big fan of it. Steven and Rob were kind of poking fun at it. It's really fun. You have extra incentive to blindside people. You get a Hail Mary chance if you're in trouble. It's not like 50-50 or something outrageous. It's 1 in 6. I think, you know, you could make it 1 in 7, 1 in 8, or even 1 in 5. Anywhere around there seems like a good number to have. I'm a fan. I was kind of sad. I don't think Voce did much wrong, but if you get voted out unanimously and you don't use your shot in the dark, it's a blemish on your resume for sure.
Yeah. for sure. Yeah, I like it. I feel like I felt like the premiere was a great balance of like all these new twists and advantages, with lots of character moments, getting to know the players. This episode at 1 hour felt like the pacing was not quite as strong for me. The advantages did seem to start overwhelming the character building, in my opinion. And so that's where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel this, but I feel like I'm not as down on the Beware advantage as a lot of people are. You know, it is certainly like a massive, like a hit to somebody's game, but like, it happens. You know, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world.
I tweeted that the show just needs 2 hour episodes to really balance everything in there. It's not that, it's just like when you only have an hour, production feels like they have to show every advantage because it comes into play. You have to introduce those things and it just overshadows the character moments. It just needs more time. But that, I mean, production, come on. If we only get an hour, like let's cut back on the advantages. You know, there has to be a happy balance there.
Yeah. And so for me, it was the, you know, and we did get a character moment on, you know, the Advantage Island getting the extra vote. But, but for me, it was like, if we're going to do that every episode, I want it to be a little more organic, that we're getting these character moments and I don't want to have to deal. I really hope we don't continue to get this extra vote stuff, because it just like, that's it. Change it up. We need something different.
Yeah, just axe it. Go with the you know, the best part of the show is like when people are at the beach, the Rick moment, the Heather making the dream. Those are the best, you know, those are the best parts. But I mean, every time I go on the Survivor Facebook page, which isn't very often, I do see a lot of comments from casual fans who love challenges. And they, you know, I don't like the challenges. I almost fast forward through the challenges. I love the strategy, the social aspects, but I guess Survivor is, you know, it is what it is. It's back and I'm enjoying it overall. I'm just a perfectionist in my own life. And I'm, you know, I think Survivor could hit a new level of entertainment. But hey, beggars can't be choosers. The show is back and I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, to critique, to analyze. So what do we think about this decision by Evie to take out Voce over Xander? I know a lot of people are very critical about this decision. I felt like it was the wrong move when I was watching it live. Since I've come up with this idea, this theory of like why perhaps they did it, if that theory is correct, I feel like there's a case to be made that it's not as bad as it appears to be. If they did let Xander in on it and he was cool with it and they plan on running with Xander with Xander, the whole Tiffany and Xander being on the same tribe. I know you weren't like big into Big Brother this season, but Tiffany and Xavier were two people, two very prominent figures on the season of Big Brother,
and it's the winner and America's favorite player.
Yeah, it's really throwing me off that we have a Tiffany and Xander on the same tribe. I feel like you know, if it is the case that Xander still feels good with Evie moving forward, I don't think this is as bad as it seemed initially. But even if that's the case, I still feel like that just further points to me not loving what Evie did on Advantage Island with Deshaun, where, you know, telling Deshaun all of this dirt on Xander, saying that they plan to vote Xander out. Now, even if Xander still is good with Evie, if Xander ever swaps to a tribe with Deshaun and Deshaun ever needs to have, you know, any kind of dirt on Evie, he has so much. He's like, oh, Evie told me all about all of your advantages. Like, he will never trust them again. And now that it's just looming out there, this bomb that could go off on Evie at any time because Xander's still in the game. And it was so avoidable by just not saying that information.
Absolutely. I think keeping Tiffany was absolutely the correct move for Evie and the women. The decision between Voce and Xander, I think there's some pros and cons. Overall, I like the decision. But like you said, if the decision was correct, it makes her actions or their actions on Advantage Island a little bit sus. But I mean, so far I'm buying Evie 100%. She's one of the absolute favorites to win this whole thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, so let's say you know, I think the case that it's the wrong decision is that in the initial case that I was thinking, which is, you know, not only the Deshaun stuff, but also if it's the way that it was portrayed and it's the women versus the men and Evie just blindsided Xander and Xander's now completely on the outs and he's upset that Evie betrayed him. Now, you know, it's like really dumb, right? Like, why would you keep him around when at the next immunity, somebody could say trees are just like, or broccoli is just trees. And goats on AstroTurf. And now all of a sudden he has an idol and you are, he has not only an idol, but also his vote back and an extra vote. And still his shot in the dark. And you are screwed. I mean, if he wants you gone because you betrayed him, you're done. And your whole alliance is done. So that is a really bad idea if that was how it went down. If how it went down is that they did let Xander in on it and he was okay with it and he still trusts Evie and perhaps they're okay with potentially getting Tiffany out next and running with Xander and Liana or something along those lines, or even just like, hey, he trusts me, great, I'll still get rid of him if his idol doesn't work next time, and if it does work, guess what, I'm with him. So if that's the case, I don't mind it as much, but I still don't like the Deshaun situation.
Great breakdown. I agree with everything there. I like Vocha. It's a little sad to see him leave early. You know, I'm a little sad about that. But also, do you know who? There's one entity on this show that really struggled this week. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. What are you talking about?
Jeff Probst's voice had a rough week. He I don't know. He needed some tea, some Earl Grey, maybe, you know, he needed a throat lozenge or something. Surprised in post-production. I am, you know, a content producer, right? You can post-produce audio and I'm surprised they didn't help him out. It was rough. It was raspy. He was really struggling.
No ADR, like nothing to fix this one.
Yeah, Jeff Probst was, maybe he's just excited about the season. He's losing his voice here on day 4 and 5.
It's real. So he's yelling at his challengers while they're in the challenge.
Twitter was going nuts. Everyone was talking about Jeff's voice and his fried vocal cords. It was quite amusing.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. That's the episode. Let's talk through these players. Let's talk about each player individually, and we'll give them some ratings.
Let's
here.
Do it. I love numbers. Let's rate people.
Yes, let's rate them. So what we're going to try to do here is give each player a rating from 1 to 10 based on how well we think they're doing in the game. We're going to do our best to not include like Edgic in the ratings. We're going to try to base them on the game that they're playing only. Now, obviously, we have to rely a lot on the edit in order to interpret what they're doing in the game. But, you know, we're not necessarily going to be like, well, we got 20 confessionals from Evie, so clearly they must be winning the game. It's going to be strictly based on what we're seeing them do in the game and what we think their position is. The ratings tend to be something, some combination of, long-term prospects to win the game, short-term safety in the game, and then like, how did they play this week? What decisions did they make? And do we agree with them and stuff like that? So let's get into it. And I'll bring up the photos of the players here again, so that you can see who we're talking about. Because some of these players that we'll talk about, and this will be the main selling point on their rating, we have seen basically nothing from.
So Genie, we don't know anything about Genie.
All right, so let's start with the Yellow Tribe. They just went to tribal. And I want to start from the lowest person on the yellow tribe for me to the highest person.
Mm. Right, let me think of who's the lowest on the yellow tribe.
Yes.
Does Voce count? Because he's gone. Does he get a rating?
We are going to rate Voce. We're going to give him a rating based on how he played this week. Obviously being voted out, that's going to be a big penalty to his rating, but, kind of like one final rating. This, if we ever do turn it into a game, is kind of a way of preventing anybody with like a boot order from like having a huge advantage. We're still, you know, it's not an automatic, you lost everything. If somebody gets voted out, they're still going to get a rating depending on how well they did in the episode of their vote out. And so for me, that's why I actually don't have Voce at the bottom spot here on his tribe, even though he got voted out. I actually have Tiffany here at the bottom.
Really? Queen Tiffany survives and you just plant her at the bottom. Unbelievable.
Right,
you're going to get some angry people on Twitter for that one, Taryn.
I gave Tiffany a 3 out of 10.
A 3?
Yeah, this was not a good episode for Tiffany. Yes, she survived the vote, but her allies seem to find her to be very unreliable. I don't think that bodes well for her long-term prospects. I think that if Xander does get his idol activated by the next tribal, that she is the person that will take the hit. Or if I'm right and Evie is deciding to potentially move forward with Xander, I think she's the one that's going to take the hit. Either way, I think she's looking like very likely one of the next boots for yellow. If they go to tribal again, it's definitely her or Xander. And that's not great, especially if they continue to lose over and over. But just the fact that she was so adamant about something that she was just like fully wrong about was just like right away to me, like she is like, she's a goat, right? Like, how does she win this game if nobody respects her game? The people that are closest to her are like, what is she doing? That's in this episode. And it's not a 1, it's a 3 right now because she could definitely recover. But this was a very bad episode for Tiffany from my point of view. And so I put her down at a 3.
Okay, I would have given Tiffany a 5. I'm not as harsh at her, partly because maybe I'm a little biased and I actually just find her so enjoyable. But I do agree on a lot of the...
Very enjoyable.
She survived. She survived. She's got this women alliance who are with her. You know, they're a little bit sus of her chaos, but a little underrated, perhaps. I would buy Tiffany at a 3. I think I would buy Tiffany at a 3.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so after Tiffany, of course, I put Voce here in the second position, or second worst position, I should say. I gave him a 4 overall, just one above Tiffany. I don't feel like he did anything egregious to get himself voted out here. I think the primary mistakes here are that he trusted Evie too much. He thought he had flipped Liana when he clearly hadn't. The fact that he was the one to approach Liana and thus his name got dropped to Tiffany was not great. You know, maybe he could have made better bonds outside of Xander and Evie. And obviously he should have played his shot in the dark. And that, you know, that's certainly a lot of potential negatives for his game here. But they're all pretty minor. And, you know, at the end of the day, with such small tribes, there's not a lot of places to hide most of the time. And I don't feel like he was like a terrible player that like really earned his boot here.
Mm-hmm. So I give him a 3. I'm pretty close with you. I would have had Tiffany above Voce, but we're pretty much bang on. Him not playing a shot in dark definitely counts against him. Him thinking Liana flipped is pretty disastrous when it was pretty obvious she hadn't. Bye-bye, Voce. I give him a 3.
There you go. So above Voce, I put, of course, Xander. Put Xander here. I gave Xander a 5. Obviously the fact that he doesn't have a vote for a while is not great. He trusted Evie when he shouldn't have. And he's like, he's Mr. Advantage. I don't think that was the play, letting everybody know that he's got all these advantages. It does still feel like, you know, Tiffany really wanted Voce out over Xander. Like, again, I'm thinking back to the first episode when Evie says, we all really trust and like Xander. I have to imagine that had something to do with why Tiffany really wanted Voce, why Evie ends up deciding to keep Xander around over Voce. And Evie says, you know, Xander really trusts me. And that's seemed to be one of the reasons why they had pause voting Xander out. The fact that Xander survives this vote could speak very highly of his social game. You know, it's hard to say that with certainty when we don't see everything, but it really should have been Xander by all sort of like typical objective measurements, but it wasn't. And that's probably pretty good for Xander. So I gave him a 5.
I gave him a 6. I echo everything you say. He just seems like a really good social player. Like everyone just seems like he's enjoyable to be around, good in the challenges. I think he did mess up sharing too much of his advantages for sure, but I think he's a pretty decent survivor player. I think a 6 for me makes sense.
All right. So above Xander, I put Liana here.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave Liana a 7, which was the same rating I gave her last time. I feel like I didn't really see anything this episode to make me go any lower on Liana than I was last time. I did go lower on Voce, of course, and Xander and Tiffany. I like what I'm seeing from her. She seems to be in a solid position on her tribe. She should survive at least one more vote, if not two. You know, she seems to be the person closest to Evie, the most protected by Evie. She was able to, you know, for as much as it didn't seem like she did the greatest job, she was able to convince Voce that she was comfortable flipping. And that seemed to help convince Voce to not use his shot in the dark. And where like Evie could maybe like flame out at some point playing so hard, she does have this sort of steady presence that could help keep her running until like some new structure emerges from like a swap or something like that. So I still feel pretty good about Liana's position here.
Yeah, I gave her a 6. It's hard not to be biased just because her confessionals were talking about other people and not really her own game. So maybe I'm a little biased there. I think she set up very good. I am a little biased with the edit, but I know we're not supposed to include that in the rating. So yeah, I'm right there with you. A 6 for me.
Okay, that brings us to Evie. Yes, who's I do still think at the top of the tribe here. I feel like we might be a little bit at odds on this one.
Okay, should I throw my number first this time?
You go first.
Evie gets a 9 from me. Not the perfect score, but a solid 9. I know you critiqued her a little bit or them at Advantage Island. I didn't think that was as big of a mistake as you're making it out to be. A super strong episode. A nice solid 9.
Nice solid 9 from Kevin. Yeah, I gave them an 8 last week. And I felt very good about their position. I was feeling like it might go up to a 9 right up until they said all of that information to Deshaun. I really feel like to me, it was like, okay, that was a little bit concerning. And then the fact that they voted Xander out, I just feel like they didn't vote Xander out. The first interaction between them and Deshaun is now going to be them explaining themselves like, oh, I didn't vote. Well, what happened is so on and so forth. And I don't feel like that's a great place to start from. So for me, I'm a little bit lower on Evie than I was last week. I gave them a 7, still higher than Liana's 7.
Wow, you dropped them down after this episode?
Oh
my goodness. Yeah. How do they drop from this episode? This was such a good episode. Interesting.
I mean, look, I don't think I'm as down on Evie as a lot of people seem to be in terms of like the move that they made this week. But I mean, here, my positives for Evie, they're clearly the power player on the tribe still. I do like the decision to stick with the women. It does seem like they were able to get Xander on board with the Voce vote out, which if that's the case, then that's really solid for them. But the negatives for me is that if Xander was not on board with the Voce vote out, then this was a really big mistake. And I don't know for sure that he was. An even bigger concern for me is that twice in this episode, they really were very quick to spill information. They, you know, the second they heard from Xander about this triple idol, they went straight to the women and they told them everything about it. And they told the next person they saw, Deshaun, all about it as well as, you know, the extra vote stuff and all of that stuff. If this is an indication of how they're going to continue to play the game, that gives me some pause about how they might, you know, move forward. And again, I feel like being that person who like gathers information quickly and spreads information quickly really leads to like strong short-term performance. But I don't know that it's great for long-term performance. It tends to lead to flame out, in my opinion. So that's what I'm a little bit concerned about.
Interesting. So that's a, we're 9-7. We're two off from each other on that one. I'm a little higher on Evie than you are.
There we go. All right. Let's talk about some of these other tribes that we did not get to see in tribal.
Because there's going to be some fun ratings coming up here.
Yeah. So let's go with green here. And this time we'll start from the top to the bottom because, you know, the lower we get, the less there is to say at this point. So I'm going to start with green, with, of course, Shan.
Shan. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I gave her an 8 last week. I'm giving her an 8 again this week. I honestly considered going up to the 9 because I do like what I saw. Now we didn't get an explanation from tribal, and that's my biggest thing about this is that I still don't love what happened in the live tribal. From Shan, if she really was considering like flipping and then went back, like there's an indecisiveness there that I don't love. But Ricard says that she is his closest ally. Boom. That's great. Brad clearly still trusts her. And he trusts her more than JD for now, which is also great. That means that even if there was some indecisiveness going on, she didn't get in trouble for it. And she is still very much in the driver's seat. This is all good things for Shan. If I had seen even a little bit more from this tribe, I think I would have gone up to the 9, but for now it's still an 8 for me.
I'm at the 9 with Shan. I really like how everyone feels super closer to her. I like what she did telling Ricard about, I mean, if that really locked in Ricard even farther. Again, maybe biased with just how charismatic she is, but a 9 for me. Mm-hmm. I'm too generous. You're a tough judge over there, Taryn. I've handed out 2 9s already.
You know, I mean, you know, we're getting into this. I'm tentative here. It's hard to even know what qualifies as a 9 this early. But you know, I do feel like there's a very strong case for the 9, and I could definitely see myself. It's so hard. Like, how do you give a 9 when you see like one scene with her in it, right? But
yeah.
But I honestly I think I should go up to a 9. I'm gonna make an audible. I'm gonna call an audible here. I'm gonna move up to the 9. I think it's fair. I think the thing that was holding me back is that we just didn't see that much, but I think that that's always going to be in the case, especially this early in Survivor. So I think the 9 is fair. I think last week was an 8, and I think it was an improvement this week. So,
hey, yeah.
There you go.
Team 9. I like that.
Okay.
I'm curious who we have next on the Green Tribe. This one could go a lot of ways here.
It really could be, and this was the toughest order here for me, because last week I had Genie in second place by default because everybody else was so low. This week I actually have Ricard in second place.
Interesting.
Which is a big shift because I had him at the bottom of the tribe, not the bottom of the ratings last week, but the bottom of the tribe in terms of, he seemed to be the person that they split the vote on, which indicated to me that he was at the bottom. But again, based on what we're seeing in this episode, and again, we're seeing so little, but assuming that Shan is the power in the tribe, which we do, we gave her 9. He is the one that we're seeing her go to, giving information to. She clearly is choosing him over Brad. And that tells me that he will probably be good moving forward. If he is the person that she is tight with and he tells us that she's his closest ally and we get no pushback from that in the edit, and if anything, we get confirmation of that in the edit because she is coming to him, then that only says good things for Ricard. I still don't love, what I've seen from him. He seems very quick to jump on now we got to target him. Like last week you were targeting JD and now you're not targeting JD and you also did have that vote on you. So as a player, I'm still not super high. I gave him a 5 still. Not super high on Ricard, but he is second place purely based on his proximity to Shan at this point.
Genie was second in my green tribe.
I gave Jeannie a 6. If we're looking at the edit, that would severely hurt Jeannie. She's been fairly invisible. But it looks like, you know, she was in the popular crowd the first week, and then Brad's communicating with her. We haven't seen a lot from her. Everyone else is, like, as entertaining as the Green Tribe is, I think there's a lot of sloppy gameplay going on. So I gave Jeannie a 6, and I gave Ricard a 5 as well. It's just tough to know with Ricard. The fact that he was targeting JD the first episode, and now he's targeting Brad, like, yeah, it seems like he's a little wild. I like Ricard on the show a lot as well. I've said that a lot about a lot of these people, but shout out to casting this year.
It seems like he's one of our villains.
I hope so. Yeah, we need a good villain. Absolutely.
Yeah. I had.
He looks like a villain. The gray hair kind of looks like some sort of like X-Men villain. Yeah.
Here's Ricard for it. I feel people know Sean and Ricard. But I did have Jeannie in third, also with a 5 for me. Mm. 5 because I am completely neutral on her. I have zero clue what she's doing in the game, what kind of player she is. I don't think we saw her once in this entire episode.
I don't think so either. The only thing I remember is Brad communicating to her. And, completely just a complete unknown entity.
So then after Jeannie in the fourth position here, I put, where is he?
JD.
Yeah, JD. There he is. I put JD. Last week I gave him a 5. I was feeling kind of middle on him. There were good things about it, what I saw. There were bad things about what I saw. This week I feel like, the only thing we saw from him was Brad. Not being cool with JD. Brad blaming JD for what happened in Tribal, finding him unreliable. I mean, Brad is finding him unreliable. That was one of the closest, like when we saw JD content last in the premiere, one of the strongest bonds we saw him create was with Brad. And the fact that that has completely disintegrated in one episode is only a bad thing for me. So, having lost an ally, I gave JD a 4 this week.
I gave JD a 4 as well. Didn't have much content. I feel like I would get along so well with JD, you know?
Yeah.
At least the one positive is it seemed like there's a bit of a bond between him and Ricard now, especially after Ricard was targeting him in the episode 1. So maybe there's a slight improvement there, but, yeah, I gave him a 4. He was pretty wild in that first episode. His lie, I remember his lie with the ship, the wheel ship was just super fumbly and stuff. Does have an extra vote, though.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. All right, so that, of course, means that Brad here is...
I'm curious, what number did you give Brad?
So I gave Brad a 3 as well here. I gave Brad a 3.
I gave Brad a 2.
I think a 2 is very fair for Brad, considering what goes down here. Now, like, really, the only thing holding me back is that, again, like I don't want to jump too quickly. Seeing what Tiffany did, it's really like it feels like we've got like a goofball on every tribe, right? We've got Tiffany on yellow, we've got Brad on green, and we've got Heather on blue. And they all seem to be around this area for me where, like, I don't necessarily think it means they're terrible at the game, but it probably means that even if they're here for a while, they're probably not winning. And so for me, that's around a 3.
Yeah.
I don't think it requires that much explanation.
I love Brad. I think he's given some great content, but in terms of the game, he's bottom of the barrel for sure. I hope he stays around, though. I mean, the first episode when he was telling Sarah and Shan that he was going to vote for them, and then him running around doing the 400 meter sprint on the beach was hilarious. So I'm a big Brad fan, but his game is not good.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then we have the Blue Tribe.
Blue Tribe. This is tough. I mean, we haven't seen him vote yet, but curious who your number one. Oh, are we starting from the bottom?
We'll start from the top again here. So my number one for the Blue Tribe was Deshaun again. It was already Deshaun last week. I felt like, again, this episode only further made me feel like that was the right call. In fact, I gave him a 7 last week. I moved up to an 8 this week. Again, I feel like I could go as high as a 9, but I really don't have enough information to do that for Deshaun. Having no real idea of what the tribe dynamics are. Definitely top spot on the tribe. He seems to have really bonded with Sydney. I have no reason to think he's not still with Danny. He had enough clout in his tribe to be able to volunteer to get the advantage, and nobody seemed to raise any objection. He now does have an extra vote, and he got a ton of information from Evie. And he can choose whether or not he wants to like trust Evie or use Evie. He is in the decider position here. If he ends up on a tribe with Evie, he now has that option, or he can use the information that they gave him to target them. So really strong episode for Deshaun here.
Yeah, I had Deshaun and Danny tied at a 7 at the top of the blue tribe. So Deshaun, for every single reason you said, positive content as well. Danny up there as well, though. We didn't get any Danny content here in episode 2, but he is such a strong premiere that I gave them both a 7 at the top of the blue tribe.
Yeah, I kept Danny at a 7 this week as well. I don't think we saw anything from him in the episode. So, it's just around the same as what I had there before. Let's talk about Sydney. Where are you on Sydney?
Sydney is a bit of an unknown. I like Sydney. I think she is fun. Based on the secret scene, we got a little more information about her being targeted by Heather. It's tough, though. I gave Sydney a 5. Not bad, not great, just purely neutral for me.
Yeah, I gave Sydney a 6, which is the same as the rating I gave her last episode as well. And I had her here in third place. Now, if I was just going on the episode, I would have given her a 7. But but the secret scene, the fact that because I think based on the episode, she seems even more entrenched in there with Deshaun and thus probably with Danny and probably in the power structure of the tribe. But on the bad side here in the secret scene, she has seemed to have rubbed Heather the wrong way, which I know is one of the concerns that people had about her in the preseason, was that she seemed maybe a little bit abrasive and that she could rub people the wrong way. And it is Heather that we're talking about who, she made up a dream about her. But it is an indication that like she is being targeted here by somebody else. And that's not always the best thing in the world for you. Even if you are on the like the if you have the upper hand in it, that's great. But for, to Heather's credit, there is something to the fact that she is now locked in conflict with somebody. And it, it gets people's gears turning sometimes. And like, I don't know, maybe we should get rid of Sydney here. Maybe that's a good move. So I gave her the 6.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I gave her a 5. It's just this blue tribe is the most unknown. Yeah, I want to see them go to tribal. There's some good characters here. I like Sydney a lot. I really thought her bio. The first episode, everyone had these emotional bio packs. And then Sydney's just like, I just travel the world. I like to have fun. Sydney's a good cast. I'm so sad Sarah's was gone. Sarah was my winner pick. That's a shame. It's just a shame that my winner pick is already gone. Am I allowed to change it? It's like a mulligan in golf. Am I allowed to audible that up?
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's also like, there's a preseason winner pick and then there's like premier winner pick. And then there's like a merge winner pick. And then there's like a finale night winner pick. Right. And each one gets, devalued appropriately as you go.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So for me, this was a tough one after Sydney between Erica and Nasir, but I went with Erica next just as the pure neutral. I gave her a 5. We've gotten basically nothing from her. I have no idea what her game is like.
I gave her a 5 as well. I think she's leaning towards being in the majority and not being the target. But she doesn't, it doesn't seem like the power trio seems like it's, Deshaun, Danny and Sydney. And I think she's on the outskirts there, but we're kind of guessing and picking at straws. So I gave her a 5 as well.
Yeah. And so that means that I also gave Nasir a 5, which is up from the 3 I gave him last week. I felt like he was very, very, very much in a bad spot last week. But I did move up to a 5, still a little bit below, like a low 5, below the true neutral 5, because he has seemed to redeem himself socially from that mishap. We primarily heard from Sydney about how she is now feeling better about him. She did have a conversation with Deshaun about that, but we didn't hear straight from Deshaun or Danny that they had forgiven him for it. And they were the ones that he went against, really, right? Like So until I hear from Deshaun and Danny that like, oh yeah, we like Nasir now, we've made up with him. Sydney telling me doesn't hold quite as much weight, that he's truly out of the, out of hot water quite yet. And the fact that he did put himself in that spot, I still don't love that he had those instincts. Even if he's doing a little bit better now socially, I love that he is, he's, you know, boosted himself back up here. I would love for this rating to continue to go up. He seems like a really great character. But I'm a little bit skeptical at the moment. Still.
That, I gave him a 4. The only thing that I kept me from giving him a little bit higher is that when Sydney talked about him in the confessional, it was positive, but it was like, oh, we need him to survive. We need him. Like, it wasn't necessarily in terms of an alliance of going far in the game. It was more based off his survivor skills, which like didn't really boost it up that far for me. So I like Nasir. I really think he is very charming, but it's a 4 for me.
Also, for what it's worth, again, given what we saw in the secret scene, if Heather has become the new, you know, pariah of the tribe, especially when it comes to Sydney, who feels like she's being targeted by Heather, it makes a lot of sense that Sydney has incentive to find good things to say about Nasir to get the guys to not be mad at Nasir and instead vote out Heather with her, right? So that could be what's happening here as well, because, of course, Heather here is at the bottom of the tribe for me. I gave her the 3. I gave the goofballs all 3s across each tribe. This is based solely on that secret scene, because in the episodes, she still would have been a 5 for me. I gave her a 5 last week because we saw nothing. But now we've seen something, and it's that she's making up dreams and targeting Sydney. And, you know, it doesn't bode super well for her, given what little we've seen now for me.
Yeah, I gave her a 2, almost a 1. I consider giving Heather a 1 just because I think her strategy in the super scene was just so, and she just came across as not very self-aware of what was happening. So I like the chaos. I like that she's making up dreams. I think that's fun. The goofballs all got rated pretty low, and it's a 2 for me for Heather.
Yes. All right. Well, that's it. That's the stock watch for the week. We ran through all the players. I thought this would be more difficult, but it's a lot of fun to just like have to guess on some of these players.
Yeah. I mean, about 5 or 6 of those we just really haven't seen yet. And I hope we get more from Heather. People like that. I hope we get more from Jeannie coming up, bring a nice balancing to the cast and the editing here. But like we talked about, the hour episode is really jammed. It's really, really, really full of everything between the challenges and the advantages. You did a good job here, Taryn. We were pretty close in all the ratings. So we're one off in almost all of them.
Yeah. Which is interesting because we have such little information. I think we think similarly.
For sure. We definitely do in terms of these games.
All right. Well, that's about what we have for you then here today for the Survivor Stock Watch. Thank you guys for tuning in here. I really appreciate it, especially now with Big Brother. It's over. It's done. Oof. I can focus more on Survivor and sleep.
I didn't participate in the Big Brother season this year. It always seems like a marathon. You know, it's on 3 nights a week. There's the live feeds. You guys always power through, though. It's a big chunk of content to consume.
It really is. But here we are. Any final thoughts you had on the episode that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, I mean, my take is premiere was really hot. The second episode was a bit, not a downer or whatever, but it's tough to continue the fire. I believe Survivor usually is a little more mild in the preseason, and then post-merge, it can get a little bit more fiery. So hopefully the show continues to keep going up. Hopefully Jeff's voice is better. And it's my favorite reality show. So I hope from 41 and onwards, we keep getting good content.
What if Jeff's voice just like never recovers all season?
It would struggle. It would be an issue for me. I wouldn't be able to just ignore it. It was that bad. It was one of my main notes from the show. It's like, holy moly, Jeff's voice was really rough.
It is. It's one of those things that like really it like makes you want to clear your throat thinking that you clear his throat. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I've streamed and done podcasts when I was sick, and people come and people are like, "This is, you can't even digest it. It's so horrible." So, Jeff, clear that throat, Jeff. I mean, I've critiqued him on his throat. He looks great. His Botox, his skincare routine. He's doing quite well. He looks as young as ever.
Yeah, and if you have an issue with his voice,
it's at Jeff Probst on Twitter. I'll probably never read it anyway.
There you go.
I'll probably never read it anyway.
Love that energy. All right, so there we are for episode 2 of Survivor season 41. Every single time I say season 41, I think about dropping the 4 and leaving the 1. It's really bothering me. I really don't like it. But that's all we have. Thank you guys for joining us. You can find me on Twitch if you want to hang out with me some more. Twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'm over there playing games, hanging out, chatting with you guys. Twitch is a fun place to be. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm a full-time Twitch streamer as well. I'm always there. Next month and a half, I won't be there as much. I'm off to the World Series of Poker in Vegas. Going to be going and play some live tournaments. You know, live poker was completely shut down during the pandemic. It's slowly returning. There's record numbers, Taryn. More people are playing poker than ever. And so I'm going to be venturing down there. And if you can wish me some run good or some good luck the next month and a half, I could use it, because there's going to be some big prizes up for grabs. So hopefully it goes well. Main event, dude. That's the dream for all of us poker players. Absolutely, I'll be there.
Yeah, it's the dream would be if you, because like I one of the ways I fell in love with poker when I was a kid was watching the World Series of Poker, particularly the main event.
Main event, yeah.
So if you made it onto the to the main event show, that would be very cool.
That would be hopefully. Hey, I've studied more than ever. I'm in the best shape of my life, ready to, you know, power through these long live tournaments. So we're expecting good results. Hopefully.
All right. Well, everyone, wish Kevin some luck here. Get some Big Brother Canada 5 running luck.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen. You can of course also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. I am going to be covering the Circle finale, season 3 of the US on Netflix tomorrow on Friday at around 5 p.m. Eastern. If you want to check that coverage out. There's plenty of more Big Brother coverage heading your way. Interviews, I'm sure, with plenty of the cast, as well as the wrap-up season wrap-up roundtable, whatever you want to call it, next Tuesday. So tune in for all of that as well. Anything else that that people should check out, Kevin?
No, we knocked it out. We did great. Twitter. I'm on Kevin Rob Martin on Twitter. Follow me. I'm
always posting some golf videos.
Yeah, I post golf content, poker content, just showing my ups and downs of life. You know, I'm very into the content nowadays, trying to put out good stuff for people that enjoy. And yeah, I've been golfing a bunch and stuff. But yeah, follow me on Twitter, Kevin Rob Martin.
All right, there you go. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining me.
Thank you for having me on. I always love talking about these shows with you, Taryn. We always have a good time, and it's been too long. We'll do something again soon here in the future.
Yeah, we'll be hanging out on Twitch, I'm sure, and playing games and all that. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys so much for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's Update for Survivor. Taryn's Update for Survivor. Taryn's Update for Survivor. Taryn's Update.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.